This is Community Matters, KBUT's public affairs program airing every other Monday beginning at 4 p.m. I'm your host, Kate Ganap, and on today's episode, I caught up with Executive Director John Norton of the Tourism and Prosperity Partnership, otherwise known as TAP. TAP presented to Gunnison County Commissioners in recent weeks and caught some heat over a couple of comments. We talked about those comments as well as TAP's long-term vision for Gunnison County. So, for folks who might not be aware of TAP, can you explain to listeners who you are and what you guys do?
Sure. We probably have to go back to 2003. And at that time, I was running the mountain. But TAP was established because CBMR spent all its marketing money just on winter. There was no summer effort whatever in the community. We used to call summer the off-season, if you can believe that. The off-season was from the time the lift stopped spinning to Thanksgiving when we started skiing again. And it was a fund that was pretty much spent in the summer. It was an election. It was a 4% tax on lodging revenue. So the local community does not pay the tax unless you're staying in a hotel, which most... The needle didn't get moved much on tourism through, I think it was probably 2014, 2015. And the commissioners at the time kind of disbanded the old organization, disbanded the board. The staff, by and large, left. The commission asked me if I'd step in on a temporary basis to just keep the lights on. And that was, I think, in like January of 2016. And I didn't have much to do. The marketing fund was completely spent for the winter in the Denver Post. And I thought a lot about summer and looked at the old marketing plans of summer. And it was the gun show and the car show. And it was a very diffuse effort. The mountain biking set us apart. And I did some studying in the market. Mountain biking was getting bigger than road biking. It was something we were excellent at, and the new board was appointed to guide the organization. I think we ought to put all our chips on mountain biking in the summertime. And they said, why? And I said, the market's growing. We're very good at it. And of course, the rest of that summer marketing is history. And then in the winter, we turned to, extreme skiing. We can't get in the ring with Snowmass or Steamboat or Breckenridge or Vail with our ski product and talk about intermediate skiing. But we do have a great extreme product, even when it doesn't snow much. It's fun to be up on the high lift and the North Face lift. And so we focused on that. And as most people know, both the mountain biking effort started to work and the extreme skiing effort started to work. John Messner, who was a commissioner at that time, said, you guys are doing great. I think you've got marketing under control. How about increasing your focus to include economic development in particular and putting a third stool on the economy's leg here? So if you want to look tourism, and then we have the college or the university now. And then he wanted an entrepreneurial spirit in the community to be built, and it needed help. And so we ended up, we said yes, took it to the board. The board considered it and said yes. And so added to our mission was economic development in the ICE lab and helping local entrepreneurs. And the entrepreneurs would be, by definition for us, selling stuff outside the valley that would bring money into the valley. So we wouldn't. So Al Smith came to us as an example at Camp 4 and said, hey, I could use some help. And we said, Al, we're not going to help you. You know, our job is not to help one local coffee shop outcompete another local coffee shop. That's not what we do. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. He said, I want to figure out how to have a subscription service established for my coffee and sell my coffee to people who would fall in love with Camp 4 Coffee while they're here, and then they go home. But I want to keep selling them Camp 4 Coffee because Camp 4 Coffee is so good. And we did jump in and help him with that and other people who had those ideas. So if Kylina wanted to talk to us about making better pizza, not that she needs any help. We wouldn't be interested in that. But if she wanted to start selling frozen pizzas to people in Cleveland, we'd say, all right, we'll help you figure that out. And so the marketing portion of our budget has been relatively flat for years because of the efforts in economic development, helping Western and sustainable tourism. And that's what the organization looks like today. We have one wing that is kind of tourism, led by Andrew Sandstrom, and another by TJ Taylor at the ICE Lab, working on economic development and helping stuff at Western.
And you touched on this a little bit, but I want to get into how TAP is funded, just to remind listeners how this actually functions here in Gunnison County.
Sure. It's a 4% lodging tax. And it doesn't, if someone rents something for more than 30 days, they don't pay the tax. So it's tourists in the valley paying a 4% tax that goes to us. And so it's not, you know, locals aren't taxed, as opposed to, say, the RTA with the 1% tax. We all pay that, right? The tourists pay it, we pay it. Locals don't pay the 4% local marketing district tax, which is on, except if you happen to find some reason to rent lodging over a short term, you would pay that.
And so we kind of talked about this. Tourism is a pretty hot button topic here in the valley. We have a housing crisis here where local workers can't find a place to live. We see businesses with staffing shortages, and our public lands are packed. There were also questions that arose during the pandemic. Basically, why would we continue to market a community that seems to struggle to serve tourists?
Well, there's not a community in the country, including Kansas City or Cleveland or Reno, Nevada, which isn't in the throes of a housing crisis right now for young people just starting out. That's just the way it is everywhere. And so we're not unique in the challenges that we have in terms of housing. And then the question goes to the economy. You know, what economy do we have here? So we have tourism. We have ranching, which we can all be grateful for because of the beautiful open spaces. And I love seeing the cows. But it doesn't provide much employment for the local community other than the ranchers themselves. It's a very hard job. And then we used to have mining, and we're just putting the stake through the heart of the Red Lady. And so all we have really is tourism and ranching. And we've turned our back on mining. I was one of the people that helped do that. So that is our economy. Now, if we turned off marketing tomorrow, we would begin to see a decline in both summer and winter. Summer, because we carry the entire burden of marketing the summer, and winter, because Vail Resorts really doesn't advertise Crested Butte. They advertise the Epic Pass. They're trying to sell the Epic Pass. So we're just one of many. As I did last year, I thought our website with VR wasn't very good. I said, boy, they have to be treating one of their premier properties like Beaver Creek better than we were using the same. They were using the same images for Beaver Creek that they were at Crested Butte. I can't think of two resorts, two mountain ski hills with different reputations and a different feel when you get there. And so, but back to your question, we turn off marketing and I think we would see a sudden and noticeable decline in visitation. And some people would say, well, that's good. I want a decline in visitation. But Breckenridge shifted a lot of their marketing dollars in the past couple of years. Steamboat did. Telluride did. We just had the governor's conference here. We were talking to these people. And just like when Colorado quit marketing itself in the 95 or 96, and the Colorado Tourism Office was disbanded because we were so popular and we didn't need marketing as a state. And I think it only took two or three years before the governor and the legislature said, this is not working. Not marketing is not working, because we wanted to keep things flat. We didn't expect this kind of sudden decline in visitation, and now people are out of work. This is the opposite problem, right? Which we saw here in 2007 and 2008. We saw it in the late 90s and early 2000s. A lot of people who have not been here long have not seen what these declines look like, but I remember seeing the U-Hauls going down 135, of people saying they can't hang on anymore. And it wasn't because the housing prices were so expensive, but because there was no work. And, you know, I think, and it's a question the community, it's fine that we wrestle with this. I do myself. But tourism isn't growing right now. Prices have, for tourists coming in because of lodging. And that's why our revenues are up. But the number of people visiting here are not. And the question is, okay, what does a contraction of 10 or 20% of visitation look like? How does that affect people's incomes? And for some, you know, for your remote workers, it affects nothing. You know, and since the beginning of tourism 75 or 100 years ago, you know, people have been moving to places and then immediately complaining about the people who visit those places and wanting to shut the door. It's true. You know, it started for me. You recognized it when I was in Boston. It was shut the door on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. It was the last guy in, close the door and pull up the bridge and don't let anybody else in. And we see some of that here from newcomers. But I hear it less from the people who work in the tourism business, right? I think the restaurant owners, the people who work in the restaurants, the people who work in the lodging, you know, community, they, you know, we have 4 months for sure that are going to be terrible, right? April, May, you know, November and early December. You know, the only thing good about December in terms of tourism is beginning with Christmas. But, you know, December 7th, I don't know how to get people here, right? There's 50 acres of skiing open. It's time for a break for all of us.
Yeah, which, so, you know, this kind of gets me into the idea of sustainable tourism and what that means. You kind of brought up an interesting point to say, you know, is waiting in line at Teocalli Tamale for 10 minutes too much? Is it at the point where you're seeing, you know, dog poop on the side of the trails? Is it when there's, you know, multiple mountain bikers on your favorite outing? What does that look like? And what does that mean for you and for TAP?
Yeah, well, it's really, and, you know, Matt McCombs ran the forest here for 3 or 4 years, and he was a good guy. And he made the point that sustainable tourism and carrying capacity is in the eye of the beholder. There is no scientific basis to say, you know, that was one person too many on a trail. But there was a time, so sustainable. There was a time when if we wanted to go out to dinner, we could go at 6:30 to any restaurant on Elk Avenue or in Gunnison and just sit down. And all of a sudden, we had to make reservations because other people were doing that. Well, you know, we may find that inconvenient, having to plan ahead, but the restaurants don't find that inconvenient because they know how to staff and they know how busy they're going to be, and they're finally, you know, getting financially healthy. I, you know, we moved here in 1985, and I can say without question that, you know, our trail system in the summer is immeasurably better and cleaner, right? We can't even think that for a second that in the late 1980s that people didn't litter or build fires. But it's been a long time since I've seen someone trying to burn up their beer cans in a fire ring. That used to be a very kind. Every fire ring had, you know, 10 rusty Schlitz cans where someone had tried to see if they could make it disintegrate, which of course you can't. It's been a while since I've seen that, but our mountain biking is better. Our hiking is better. Our alpine skiing is immeasurably better. Nordic didn't exist. It's better. the, you know, kayaking is even better because of the whitewater park in Gunnison. And finally, fishing, because people, you know, I saw someone on the Gunnison, it was a couple years ago, with a creel. And I hadn't seen a creel, I don't know how long it had been since I've seen someone taking fish, which you're allowed to do.
Yeah.
But really, people don't. And so people are practicing, you know, catch and release, and our water is a lot cleaner, right? The Coal Creek water folks, and it's just, we're cleaning up the old mine waste, which used to impact the fisheries. So if you ask, is the state of our natural world better today here than it was when we moved here 35 years ago? I'd say it is, and it's more fun. And, you know, if someone... You know, I mean, I'm on mountain bike rides where I get off my bike. It doesn't really bother me. Now, if your idea of perfection is you never have to get off your bike for someone coming in a different direction, well, the things that we've done, you know, telling people about our fabulous mountain bike product is not good. But I'll tell you, if you get off, in my experience, if you get off the lower loop, if you get off the Lupines, if you go, you know, Reno Flag Bear, if you go into upper or mid Cement Creek, because we live up Cement Creek, and so those are, I don't see that many people. And, you know, I hiked over 4th of July weekend, I think, you know, 409, you know, up from Cement Creek and then down into Brush Creek. I didn't see a soul. And I was probably there for 6 hours on the trail. And so if we want no one, if that's the standard for sustainability for us, well, this isn't it. There are a lot of places to live where no one visits. But if we want a ski area, I know I desperately do. I love to ski. We need tourists, because that's the only reason we have a ski area. We cannot keep the ski area open just with us. And I think probably it's true with the quality Nordic product we have too. So... I think, you know, everybody has a different idea of sustainability. And I know, you know, God bless Simba and the work they do. I don't run across a lot of degradation in the backcountry around here, and I'm out a bunch.
So I also want to get into a recent presentation that you had with Gunnison County Commissioners. TAP got a lot of heat in last week's papers. Editor Mark Rehman called out TAP in his editorial, and he called some of TAP's ideas that were recently presented over the top. He was referring to a recent retreat where you pointed out communities like Durango and Steamboat Springs that have amenities like a Walgreens or a Target or a dermatologist nearby. But in order to grow, we need to reach what you called critical mass. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah, sure. You know, Andrew Sandstrom, who's our marketing director, is a really, really smart guy. And we take these, you know, we're only up in front of the commissioners twice a year. And so as a group, we rehearse and people make comments. John, I'd say it this way, not that way. And we rehearsed this presentation a couple weeks ago twice. And Andrew never mentioned a Walgreens and a Target. And when he did at the commissioners meeting, I turned my head and looked at the rest of the crew and was like, where did that come from? And I think Andrew's saying, where in the world did that come from? But what we were talking about, what the point, and we did make the point, and that this Walgreens and Target thing was just a brain fart, was the need for reinvestment in the community and in things that make us attractive. And I'll give you an example. So we were talking about the ski area, right? We were just done with Durango. Purgatory is going to spend $100 million on its mountain in the next 10 years. They've made that public pledge. Now, they haven't spent the money yet. But even if they only spend $50 million, we haven't seen any reinvestment in the mountain. I think the last mountain improvement, if you want to call it that, was the East River lift getting replaced in, I think it was 2003. And the last ski area expansion was 1991, right? The high lift, because the North Face lift was so successful. So ski areas eat capital. And, you know, Vail replaced the Teocalli lift when it broke and replaced the Peachtree lift when it broke. And thankfully they did. But they're sitting on a $20, $25 million approval for TO2, which would be fabulous. And so he's like, how do we get Vail to invest in Crested Butte? They just announced investments at Park City and Vail and Crans Montana and other people. So we're, so far as we can tell, the redheaded stepchild. And we cannot last with a healthy ski area indefinitely when other people are getting so much better if we don't look for opportunities to improve our product. Mount Crested Butte, right? It's the base area. You know, nothing's happened there since 2007. We've got the parking lot, a half-built, maybe quarter-built parking garage. And I don't know anybody who would say, oh, yeah, Mount Crested Butte is rocking. You know, that base area is super cool. Gunnison Rising just goes bankrupt. And also at Durango, we saw a new $14 million hot springs, which was not a big pool, but was, I think, 60 different little hot tubs ranging from a kid's pool to smaller, like 6 or 8 people tubs at all different temperatures. With beautiful. It was cool. They were doing 240,000 visitors annually. And we went and had a really nice time. There's a bar. We got our beers, you know, kicked back. We could do something like that. And then they're building a $10 million bike park, which I didn't understand at all. I thought they're building just a big pump track. And it's something way beyond that. It's that. It's a BMX park. It's an amphitheater for musical performances outside. They'll have hot trucks come in when they're doing that to be able to serve food. And it's also, I think it's 30 or 40 miles of trail, which will all be, which will allow e-bikes on all the mountain bike trail. And I looked, and we went out, and we rode. We looked at the trails, and they were beautiful. They had the kind of rock work that Bentonville does. And we were just impressed. And we were at Steamboat the year before, and Altera is spending more than $100 million on the hill. Mm-hmm. That money's in there, right? So they have a new gondola. They expanded. They needed some steeper terrain. And so they opened steeper terrain at Steamboat. And we're just making the comment that we can't stay healthy indefinitely without reinvesting in our, and, you know, more important here, more important in the South Valley than the North Valley, as you know, Kate, is Western. And Western faces challenges. You know, there are going to be fewer 17-year-olds every year for the next 17 years. The replacement birth rate is just not there. Mm-hmm. And so you've got, I don't know how many colleges and universities across the country, thousands. And every year there's going to be a smaller market for college freshmen. And so how does Western succeed? In the meantime, some of our prosperity allows us to do things like launch the Whetstone Project. Right. And I was a supporter of Brush Creek, but that didn't happen.
We all know what happened with Brush Creek.
Right.
So I also want to pivot a little bit and get into how funding has changed. So now we have workforce housing and childcare. Do you want to explain what that means?
Yeah, the state, and then we as a community, and we all voted for that change, right? It wasn't like we didn't fight that. We didn't say, oh, that's terrible. We don't need housing. Of course we need housing. It's really apparent. It's really important. And so our monies could be further diluted from, you know, just marketing and economic development in Western to child care and housing. And so we chipped in $1 million last year on the housing. I'm not sure I can remember the name.
Sawtooth?
Yes. Yes. And this year I expect, you know, a big chunk of our income will go, I think, to begin preparing the fund necessary for the roundabout and the underpass at Whetstone. So we expect that to happen indefinitely.
So I guess my final question is, looking towards the future, what is the long-term vision for the Gunnison Valley?
Well, how many people do we have living here? How many visions could be? I'll tell you what my vision would be, and we'll start in the South, that Western somehow hits on all cylinders and really is a healthy institution. And there are challenges there, right? Another vision would be that we continue to be successful in generating helpful in generating successful entrepreneurs who want to live here. So PACT is doing pretty good. And NARA, that's the used to be SheFly with the girls' pants that zip all around the back, is working. And Campfire Ranch, Sam Degenhart, you know, he actually is getting the contract in Durango to open up another Campfire Ranch. And they're at the bike park. I think he's down in Arkansas right now because he's working with the Walmart people around Bentonville to open up campgrounds there. Arkansas has no federal lands, so you just can't go and camp somewhere. And so they're actually buying private land and then establishing a campground on that. And then our new initiative with Rumble and Rady, you know, so you've got these, we're anchored by these two institutions of learning in the North and the South. They've never worked together before. But you've got Jenny Blacklock and Ian now exploring how they can expand the atmospherics studies, which are funded federally much more than biology, and also being a home for these bright Rady grads, new to the Valley. You know, these kids are getting accepted at Penn State and Purdue and Caltech and UNC and CU Boulder and choosing to come to Gunnison. Well, there's only one reason to do that is because you want to be here in the middle of the mountains. And they want to stay. But there's no engineering firm here to hire them. There's no, you know, and these are serious kids, right? And so, you know, we've got two kids working now on the projects. And hopefully that will grow as, you know, federal and state monies and National Science Foundation monies comes in there. And we're doing really important work in the sciences, helping to understand everything from water to the atmosphere to climate change and you name it. So that would be part of my vision. Part of my vision, we'd get TO2. I've skied TO2, right, all the way down. It's great. It's a super cool experience. And I would love to see that open up. And then, you know, we can live in peace and harmony and our schools continue to prosper and our churches continue to prosper and everybody's in love with one another and there's peace in the Valley. Not all that would happen, but it'd be a great vision if it could.
You're tuned into KBUT's public affairs program, Community Matters. Special thanks to our guest, John Norton, for taking the time to chat with us. If you just tuned in, you can listen to the full episode at kbut.org. Stay tuned to hear excerpts from the Club 20 debate featuring Congressional District 3 candidates Adam Frisch and Jeff Hurd. That's coming up next. I'm Kate Ganap. Thanks for tuning in.